Good afternoon, and welcome to 3 Tune Tuesday for Tuesday, April the 25th. If you are a returning guest to our show, it's certainly nice to have you back. If this is your first time visiting, you are definitely more than welcome. You have found your way to my virtual country cottage, Bonaparte's Cottage in the Country. Please do come in, have a seat in the parlor. There are enough oversized, well-cushioned Victorian chairs for everyone. Close your eyes, sit back, and let yourself be transported with me back into the 1920s. I am Bonaparte, your blind skeleton, and you are listening to 3 Tune Tuesday on Blind Skeleton Online Radio. 3 Tune Tuesday is an opportunity for me to share some vintage, acoustically recorded, pre-1924 songs from my collection of 78 RPM records. Some of these are vintage, some are popular, some were popular but are no more. All of them have a great deal of character. I would like to spend a moment this morning before we start the show just remembering Harry Belafonte. Now, he passed away earlier today at the ripe old age of 96, and he was a very fantastic musician. The world is certainly going to miss him. Just last week, in fact, I was watching a few of his songs on YouTube. I was really enjoying his version of There's a Hole in My Bucket with Odetta. It was really fun. He always had such joy in himself when he was singing, and he will be missed. This week, we have here a show inspired by what can best be described as an awesome-looking record label. The Opera Disc Company had a fantastic-looking label. It was a label with an ancient Greek person playing a lyre. Looks really great. The company was short-lived. It was founded in 1921 in New York City. The founder was Max Heslin. He was a securities broker who was also a music lover. He was frustrated by the high prices of classical music records, typically released by the Victor Talking Machine Company. At the time, back in the late 1910s and 1920 era, a Victor Talking Machine Company high-end record with one song on one side could cost upwards of a dollar. Back in 1920, that was a substantial amount of money that equates to about $16 or $17 today, which is a lot to pay for one song. Victor's records were known for their high quality, but they were very expensive. Heslin saw an opportunity to create a more affordable option for classical musical lovers. So he created the Opera Disc Company. And the Opera Disc Company was able to offer its records at substantially lower prices because it was able to obtain the master recording from a company in Germany. Polyphonwerk acquired the master recordings from Deutsche Grammophon, which was the German affiliate of the Grammophon Company. DGG had originally been given the master recordings for distribution in Germany, but they had been confiscated as alien property during World War I. The Opera Disc Company's records were a success. They became very popular with opera lovers, but the success was short-lived. In 1923, the Victor Talking Machine Company sued for copyright infringement on the grounds that they actually owned the masters and that the Opera Disc Company was using them without permission. The lawsuit was settled out of court, but one of the side effects, or the major repercussion, was that the Opera Disc Company was forced to cease operations. I have three records from the Opera Disc Company in my collection, and we are going to play all three of them today. Despite having only three of these records, and despite the company itself, ODC, being short-lived, the names on these records are really easily recognizable. Our first song is Tarantella Neapolitan. The tarantella itself is a dance. More specifically, it is a group of various dances, folk dances from the southern Italian peninsula. And they're characterized by a very fast upbeat tempo, usually in 6/8 times, but sometimes as fast as 12/8. So it's quick. The tarantella dance as we know it today is either a courtship dance or a dance that supposedly shakes off the effects of a spider bite. Now, the tarantella Neapolitan is traditionally only considered a courtship song. It does not have anything to do with spider bites. The song that we're going to listen to tells the story of a young man who falls in love with a beautiful girl and begs her to dance the tarantella with him. This one is sung by Enrico Caruso, who was himself an Italian tenor. Indeed, Mamma Mia, that was a fast song. That was Enrico Caruso singing the Tarantella Neapolitan. He was another man that passed before his time. So over the course of the last couple of weeks, I've been teasing some new things coming here at Blind Skeleton, and we're finally at a point where I can share some really exciting news with you all. Tomorrow night, on the fourth Wednesday in the month, we will have our regularly scheduled Electric Dreams show, streaming live at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Electric Dreams, of course, is my opportunity to share with you some early electrically recorded songs from my collection, songs that were recorded between the years 1927 to 1937. Tomorrow is going to be all about the blues, and that's really going to be exciting. We're going to have a selection of early 1930s blues songs. Later in the week, on Saturday, we are going to have our first ever video. I'm very excited about this. This will be the first in a series of weekly videos covering a variety of topics, all of which revolve around vintage technologies, such as vintage phonographs, wind-up phonographs, electric phonographs of the vintage sort, film photography, film cameras, and coffee. Coffee is a large part of Blind Skeleton's makeup, and coffee will definitely be a part of what we discuss. These videos will not be live-streamed, at least not initially. They will be pre-recorded and available both on the Blind Skeleton website and on our YouTube channel, which is being stood up as we speak. Very, very excited about that. This coincides with some other exciting news that we have. Beginning next week, we will have two new Blind Skeleton offerings. Starting Monday, May 1st at 7 a.m., please be sure to tune in to our new short morning show, Morning Coffee with Bonaparte, which is me. I will be sharing stories, anecdotes, a song, and pretty much whatever comes to mind, of course, with a good cup of coffee to go with it. That will be a short 15-minute show from 7 to 7:15 every weekday morning, followed up by Victor Health Exercises, which is a series of recorded exercises that the Victor Company put out back in the 1920s. Along with the show, I did say that there were two new offerings next week. Along with the show will be the launch of our new online gift shop, including a line of Blind Skeleton-specific coffees. I'm really excited about that. We are all about coffee here, in addition to music and film photography, and it's something that's really near and dear to my heart. The coffees will be branded as Skeleton Brew Coffees. They will be available on the Blind Skeleton website, and I really do encourage you all to go take a look, find your favorite, and tell me what you think of it. The next song we have for you today is also sung in Italian, as most good operas are, and is an excerpt from the opera Rigoletto. Rigoletto is an opera in three acts by the Italian composer Verdi. It premiered in Venice in 1851 and is based on a play by Victor Hugo. The opera tells the story of Rigoletto, a hunchbacked jester in the court of the Duke of Mantua. Rigoletto is fiercely protective of his daughter Gilda, who he keeps hidden from the court. However, the Duke learns of Gilda's existence and seduces her, leading to tragic consequences, of course. The character of Rigoletto has become one of the most iconic roles in opera, and this opera itself is considered one of Verdi's greatest works. The song that we're listening to is sung by the character of Rigoletto and is sometimes known as Rigoletto's Plea. In it, Rigoletto is desperate and pleading with the courtiers who have abducted his daughter. He asks them to have mercy on him, return his daughter to him, and beg them not to speak or mock him any longer. It's a very emotional moment in the opera itself. This particular area is often performed by baritones and is considered to be a challenging piece due to its emotional complexity and the need for a skilled performer to bring out the nuances of the character. As such, we have Tita Ruffo and Meg Greeny, both of whom performed Rigoletto on stage and recorded for it. Ruffo's recordings of Rigoletto in particular are considered by many, even today, 100 years after the fact, to be the definitive recordings of the opera and the character. And I hope you get to enjoy it. Sadly, the recordings that we're listening to today with Enrico Caruso on them were some of his last. All of these particular records were distributed in 1921, and he did pass away in 1921. Before we get to our third song of the day, I'd like to talk about a couple of other things new to Blind Skeleton. One of which is a new feature on the Blind Skeleton webpage, which involves a database of all of our songs. Last week, we were able to get all of our records into a relational database the way that they're supposed to be. Now they are online, they are searchable, and there is a request button once you find the song that you happen to like. Hit the request button, fill out a form explaining what the song means to you, your name, request gets sent to us, and we will play it on a later show. Very, very excited about that. So be sure to check out https://blindskeleton.1 if you are not already there. Please do check out the database of songs and the coffee shop. And next week, come Monday morning, we can have a coffee together. While there, please feel free to drop me an email. There is a contact form there. Any questions or concerns, updates, if I've gotten anything wrong in the show, if I need to be corrected, please let me know. I'm not too big to admit when I'm wrong. If you happen to like what we're sharing with you, please do let me know that too. I love to hear from people and get feedback of all sorts. You can also find me on Twitter as @skeleton_1. I am Bonaparte, your Blind Skeleton host, and here we are finishing up 3-Tune Tuesday for today. Our third song of the day brings together two of the power artists from the previous two songs. In Otello, also sung by Caruso and Rudo, Otello is also created by Verdi, sung by Enrico Caruso and Tita Ruffo. They sing as a duet in the area Cipel Ciel, which translates into English as If to Heaven. The name of the aria derives from the opening lines, where Otello sings, If to Heaven of Marble I Swear. The song is from Act II of Otello. It is sung by the character of Otello, the Moorish general of the Venetian army. In the song, he expresses his anguish and despair over the situation with his wife Desdemona, who he believes has been unfaithful to him. He laments his fate and the hand that God has dealt him, expressing his confusion and despair over the situation. Now, I won't ruin the opera for you. I am sure that you will hurry off after we're done here, having been inspired by our songs, and go and listen to it. But it is a tragedy in every sense of the word. So here, finishing up today for us, is Caruso and Ruffo singing Otello.
Oh!
And that is our show for the week. Thank you very much for joining in and spending your lunch hour with me. I do very much appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed today's show. And do be sure to join in tomorrow night for Electric Dreams, and again this time next week for our next edition of 3 Tune Tuesday. I do see having come in through the side door like she usually does, the story lady. I'm sure she's got an amazing story to share with us today. Thank you again. Have a fantastic day.
And now time once again for the Story Lady.
Hello, boys and girls. Today I'd like to tell you a story I call The Unhappy Baboon. All right, get this. Once upon a time in the deep, dark jungle, there lived an unhappy baboon who was always unhappy because he could never make friends and keep them. One day he decided to visit the king and asked, "Why can I not make friends and keep them, O wise king? Shortly after I meet someone, they become distant and leave me. What can I do, wise king?" After much deep thought, the king replied, "I think you would keep your friends a lot longer if you take a shower once in a while and quit exposing yourself."
Yes, thank you, Story Lady. Be here tomorrow, boys and girls, when the Story Lady will show you the difference between kissing on the silver screen and kissing in real life.